And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read them, but I'm not going to teach them because I got something else I want to teach. And I'll give you a handout next week on these eight reasons. All right? So you don't even have to try to write them down. I'll give them to you next week. All right? Here's the eight reasons, but there's something I want to dig into. The eight reasons that God wants you to prosper according to Scripture, and I won't even read the Scripture, but I have Scripture for you, is to establish His covenant in the earth, number one. Number two is because He delights in the prosperity of His servants. Number three is so that you can leave an inheritance for your children's children, according to Scripture. So that you can live, according to Matthew, that you can live without worry for the things you need. Huh. Now, how many of you would like to get to that one? Right? And that's what he said. He said, I tell you, take no thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, because your Father's going to provide all that. Right? So I'm not going to worry about that. 2 Corinthians says, number five, so that we can have all sufficiency in all things and give an abundance to good works. God says, I want to bless you that way. Proverbs says that God wants to give us this because the Scripture says a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So it's to accomplish God's will in which there's a transfer of wealth. I'm going to dig into this one in just a minute, all right? So just put that one in the back of your brain because that's where we're going, all right? Number seven is so that you can be the head and not the tail. I decided years ago I didn't want to be the tail. It's biblical. It's Deuteronomy 28. And number eight is because we are His children and He wants to give good things to His kids. That's why God said He wants you to prosper. Now, tonight, I want to give you a kingdom key that relates to all of that, of how that we get there. Now, thank you, Adam. You can go down. Appreciate it. Give Adam a hand and all the team tonight a hand. I love anointed praisers and worshipers and keyboardists and musicians. It's unbelievable. God wants us to get there. The problem is, and for some reason, I don't have a clock, so I'm just going to preach all night. In the process is tonight I want to give you a kingdom key in this. Now, I want everybody to hear Pastor real carefully. I'm going to talk tonight about how to transfer the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous. And it's biblical, and it's going to be according to the Word of God, all right? Now, let me set some parameters before I go there. First of all, unless there's something physically wrong with you, Scripture says if you don't work, what's the rest of that? You don't eat. All right? So I'm not teaching this so you can quit your job and go sit at home and say, praise God, Pastor said God's going to transfer the wealth of the wicked into my life. No. Scripture's clear. If you don't work, you don't eat, so get over it and go get a job. I was in Popeyes today, and they're hiring. I drove by Cheddar's today, and they're hiring. So there's your two job opportunities right there, okay? I mean, trust me, there's jobs out there, and I don't want to get on that. The Scripture says if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. You're worse than a heathen. You're worse than somebody who doesn't even know God, okay? So I'm not teaching this in the sense of, well, we're just going to sit back and wait for the check to show up in the mail. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a spiritual principle that I don't think the kingdom of God has gotten. So go to the book of Isaiah if you have your Bible. We don't put these on the screens on Wednesday night because I want you to bring your Bible or whatever you've got it downloaded on. I don't have my Bible up here tonight, but it is on my iPad, okay? So Isaiah, the first chapter and the 19th verse, is we're going to start there, and then I'm going to go to several other places. But I want to show you out of Scripture, and this is why I wanted to teach this tonight, and I want to be brief and to the point, but I want you to get it. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Now, did you hear that? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat, or you'll be blessed. You will eat the good things. You'll have prosperity in your house, in your life. This is what God's going to do for you if you are willing and obedient. I'm just waiting for everybody to kind of tune in here, okay? Now there's a difference in being willing and being obedient. I know some people that are obedient, but they're not willing. I know some other people who are willing, but they're not obedient. So you've got to put, you say, well, what? I thought they were the same thing. No. Well, first of all, God doesn't stutter. Right? He doesn't just repeat himself. He says, if you are willing and obedient. Now watch this. Willing is about your attitude. What is your attitude toward the kingdom of God? What is your attitude toward prosperity? What is your attitude toward poverty? What is it? There are so many of us, because of the way we were raised, we have a poverty mentality. And many of us, because of religious tradition, we have a poverty mentality. We think that anybody that's blessed must be cheating the government, cheating God, and cheating somebody. Right? And we've been told, if you really love God, you're always going to be broke. You're always barely going to be getting by, because don't you know, you need to be like Mother Teresa. No, there was only one Mother Teresa. Right? God didn't call me to be Mother Teresa. That's not who she was. God bless her. She did wonderful. But I'm not called to be that. All right? That's a special calling, and if you got it, God bless you, work in it. But I'm not called to be that. God's people, by and large, and again, you have to go by what God says to the totality. You can't just take an individual. God speaks to his people and says, if you are willing and obedient, then you will prosper. Then you will eat the good of the land. Then you will be blessed, is what he's saying. So I've got to have the right attitude about prosperity. I've got to believe, beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God's saying to us, listen, I want you to prosper. I want you to be blessed. I want you to walk in blessing. And the reason is all those 8 things God wants to do through us, but we've got to get there where we can receive it. So first of all, I got to change my attitude. Amen? And listen, part of changing that attitude is you can't be envious. You can't look at somebody else who drives up in a new car and goes, I wish I had that car and they had a knot on their head. Right? No, I've got to come to that place where I see somebody else blessed and I go, praise God. You know what? I need to rejoice. The Bible says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. Right? Now, the church is real good at weeping with those who weep. But we don't do a good job of rejoicing with those who rejoice. You know why I need to rejoice when somebody else gets blessed? The Scripture tells you to do that, by the way. The Scripture tells you to rejoice when someone else is blessed. The reason is that if God can bless you, it means he can bless me. Because God's no respecter of persons. He looks at all of his kids the same way. And if he'll bring blessing into your life, then he'll bring blessing into my life. So when I see you getting blessed, when I see good things coming your way, when I see you prospering in every area of your life, if all of a sudden you've got a business and that business begins to grow and you're being blessed by that and financially prospers that, I'm going to go, praise God, they are being blessed, because I know that as they are being blessed, I'm part of the same family that they're in. And God's going to bless them, but he's also going to bless me. Amen. Right? So I've got to look at my attitude. If I am willing, and then he says, then if you're obedient. So willingness is about my attitude. Obedience is about my action. How do I operate on this earth? What is it that I'm doing? Am I living an obedient life to the Word of God? Do I say what God says? I was talking to somebody before church who's been in one of those seasons of their life over the past year or so. And they said, Pastor, we've had to be careful who we talk to about our situation. And we've had to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And because we know that everybody else is out there and all kind of things. But we have made a decision. We're going to say what God says about our situation. Listen, if God says something about you, why would you believe everybody else instead of God? Amen? The Scripture says, if God is for you,
Who can be against you? So I've got to have the right attitude, and I've got to have the right action. Now, let me drill down into this a little bit. What we've got to learn to do is we've got to learn to operate in faith. Amen? We've got, and I've got to be careful because I understand that there has been some extreme teaching about faith. But just because there's been extreme teaching about faith doesn't mean that the faith message is not still powerful. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong. All right? It just means it needs to be kept in balance. Like everything else in Scripture, it needs to be balanced with the Word of God. So I've got to operate in faith. Now, let me say this. You cannot believe beyond your knowledge. You want me to slow down on that one? The Bible's quite clear about that. You know what the Bible says? Here's what the Scripture says. The book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." I can't believe beyond my level of knowledge. And so if I believe God wants me poor, if I believe God wants me destitute, if I believe God wants me just barely getting by, then I can't move in to the prosperity that God has for me. But if I can find out what God says, isn't it interesting that we know what everybody else says? Well, all those preachers want is they want your money. Don't raise your hand. How many times have you heard it? All that preacher talks about is money. First of all, we take less than 2 minutes on any given Sunday to take an offering. Less than 2 minutes every Sunday. Why? Because I got a clock up there. Less than 2 minutes every Sunday to take an offering out of a 70-minute service. So we're not talking about money. But you know what? What we have to understand is that we've got to come to that place, quit listening to why is it that you'll listen to every broke, busted? I mean, it's like taking dieting advice from somebody that's, I'm going to be your personal trainer. No, you're not. Train yourself, and then I'll listen. Right? Come on. That's where we've got to get. You're taking advice from somebody who drove up and their car's put together with baling wire, and when they turn it off, you call the fire department because the thing is smoking so bad, and they say, you got to be careful of those preachers now. They want your money. Well, you're a great example of not listening to preachers. I definitely want to follow you. I want to be like you because you have it together. All right? So if I can't operate above the knowledge that I have, then I need to get the knowledge of what God says about prosperity. So let me give this to you. I'm going to be quick here. Psalm 89:11. Here's what Scripture says. The heavens are yours, speaking of God, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. All right? So it's God's, right? God created, God spoke it, He brought it into existence. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I like that. I like this one even better. Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord." Now, I just told you, God made it, God created it, God brought it into existence. Now listen to what Genesis 1:26 says. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" Here's what God said. "I made it, I created it, and now I'm giving you dominion over it." Right? Who did God make the cattle for? Come on, work with me. Me. If you're vegan, God bless you. He made cows for me. I love a good steak. All right? He made the cattle on a thousand hill are not for the devil. They're for us. Who did God make the silver and gold for? He didn't make it for him. God doesn't need silver and gold. God so doesn't need silver and gold that he uses it as asphalt. The Bible says he paves his streets with gold. He's got so much he just goes, we don't need that. Just use that to pave with. Who did God make the world for? Us, mankind, humanity. Now, Adam sold out. And he gave authority to Satan. So the Bible says this. It says that Satan is the god of this world. Now I'm going somewhere. Don't miss this. I'm not just up here talking, trying to be pretty. Sherry thinks I'm pretty. Watch this. I heard that. Watch this. You ready? God's not holding out on you. Satan is holding out on you. Come on, somebody needs to get a... that ought to have been... If we could see a comic book right now, there ought to be a lot of light bulbs going boom, boom, boom. Because we think God's holding out on us. No, God's already given it to us. In Genesis 1, 2, and 3, God gave it to us, everything. The cattle, the gold, the silver, everything. God, come on, don't miss this. God gave it all to us. We transferred it to Satan. So the reason you lack is not because God doesn't want to bless you. It's because Satan's got your stuff and you haven't taken it back. Why do you think when the world, if they want to build a casino, they don't have to beg, borrow, and steal to build a casino? Why? Because that's in Satan's kingdom. I'm sorry, if you've been going, to wherever, God, to help you. That's Satan's kingdom you're playing in. That's why the lottery's a ripoff. It's Satan's kingdom you're playing in. All right? If you bought tickets a few weeks back, you're messing in Satan's kingdom at that point. He operates in, and that's why those things are blessed. Have you ever noticed that? If they want to put a nightclub up, the devil makes sure that it's released to them. But you want to build a church? Well, let's sell some peanut brittle. Are you kidding me? We ain't selling no peanut brittle. We ain't having any chicken dinners. We're not going to have car washes. We're not doing any of that stupidity that we've done through the years. Go around my hand out asking you to give me $2 for peanut brittle. Uh-uh. No. No, we'll worship in a tent before we do that, boys. That's the dumbest thing the church has ever done. I just tell you what I think. I wouldn't say this on Sunday unless it hit me right. God, I want you to get this. I hope you wrote this down, put it in your brain, locked it away. God's not holding out on you. Satan is. So how do we get this transfer happening? You ready? Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38, all right? So get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Hold my mule. No, I'm kidding. You know it. Give, and it will be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and don't miss this, and what? Running over. Not just enough, an overflow, more than enough. Now watch what it says. We have interpreted this and said, Given and given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will God give unto you. It's not what it says. It says that man will give unto you. Now, let me explain to you why. Are you okay? God's not going to rain money down from heaven, because God doesn't have money in heaven. Money, are you ready? Money is of the system of this world. Yeah, I know it says in God we trust, but it's not the right God. All right? Now don't miss this. There's no money in heaven, so God can't be, you know, God's not going to rain down pennies from heaven. He can't rain down what he doesn't have. Now watch this. God's not going to send, are you ready? God's not going to send you money because God doesn't have any money. Wow, I just shut some of you down right there. Bless God, what have I been giving all these years for? God don't have any money. God doesn't have any money because God doesn't operate in money. God's not going to give you money because the only way God could give you money was for God to counterfeit it, and he's not a counterfeiter. There's no press up in heaven where God's cranking out, you know, dollar bills and Canadian money and francs and what, you know, he's not doing it. You say, well, Pastor, am I going to be broke all my life? If you want to be. Now remember, Adam and Eve gave the authority to Satan in the Garden of Eden. But there's another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the first garden, the will of man was done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the will of God is done. Man says, this is what I want. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says that he went into the hell and he came forth with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says he led captivity captive and he gave gifts. Don't miss it. He gave gifts to men. Well, what are the gifts that he gave to men? The gifts that he gave to men were the keys to the kingdom. And he said to us, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in the heavenly. So what we've got to do is we've got to learn how to transfer this. We've got to come to that place. Now let me explain something to you. This world is under a curse. How many of you know that? All right? When I've had you until here. Now some of you you're gonna stop. Don't stop. Go with me, okay? The money that you have is of this world. It's unsanctified money. It's unholy money. The way that you make that money holy, oh, here I go. But you need to hear this. The way that you make that money holy is when you give the tenth that makes the rest of it holy unto the Lord. Here's what you do. Let's just do it this way. Remember, boy, I got to hurry. Help me, Jesus. Remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 or got ready, and they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, send them away. It's late. And what did Jesus do? Jesus looked at them and said, you give them to eat. And what did they say? They said, Lordy, Lordy, Miss Maudie. That's in the King Eddie version of the Bible. Lordy, Lordy, Miss Maudie. Just remember that, all right? It's in there. And they said, Lord, it'd take a year's wages. Now remember, and this is what we do. It would take a year's wages to feed all these people. We always operate in that dimension. Well, how can I bless somebody else? I'd have to work two jobs to bless somebody else. We're in that year's wages mentality. We're in this earthly realm mentality. Well, I can't pay my tithe. Why? Because I'm in this earthly realm mentality. And as long as you stay in this earthly realm mentality, the earthly realm is going to dictate to you how you live. It's not about tithing. This lesson is not about tithing. That's a side portion of what I'm talking about. All right? But until you get this, you can't ever get into the next level of living. Because you've got, and so what did Jesus say? He said, what do you have? And they said, Lord, we don't have nothing. We got a little kid's lunch. Now watch what Jesus did. Jesus said, again, don't miss this. Jesus didn't say, well, y'all just go give it to him. Did he? Did he say that? So see, some of you are going to get a revelation here. Jesus said, first of all, bring it to me. Did he or not? Bring it to me. What is happening when they bring it to Jesus? Don't miss this. Jesus, the Bible says, then blesses it. What is he doing? He is transferring it from one kingdom. Into another kingdom. He is taking it out of the kingdom of lack, out of the kingdom of poverty, and he is putting it into the kingdom of El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough. He takes it, he blesses it, and then gives it to him and says, do with it what you, go out there and see what happens. And now, because it has transferred kingdoms, it doesn't just feed a little boy. The Bible says it feeds 5,000 men and their wives and their kids. 20,000 plus people eat out of what all they can see is, Lord, we're going to have to work all year long to be able to feed these people. And God said, no, just bring it into my kingdom, because if you'll get it into my kingdom, little is much when God is in it. Somebody's going to get it. Somebody is going to move out of where you've been living. And I'm not talking about your house. That's going to happen for you too. But you're going to get out of that poverty mindset that God, man, all the church wants is my money. The church don't want your money. Why? Because God doesn't need your money. Don't miss it. God doesn't need, why? Because God's kingdom doesn't operate on money. The Bible says God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that not what it says? All right? You say, well, why do we give tithe? I just told you. Where you been? Here's what tithe does. Tithe puts a fence around the 90%. Where the enemy can't break through to kill, to steal, and destroy. And if you really want to get crazy, start throwing in some offering. Man, you just supercharge things in. I got to. So how do we do this? Well, the Word of God says when you pray, believe you receive. You got a card tonight, I hope. Everybody got a card? If you didn't, somebody's got some and they'll bring it to you. If you don't have one, hold your hand up. You got a card tonight. Whoa, guys, a bunch of people don't have cards, so if y'all could hurry and get those to them. All right, help me out real quickly here. All right, in just a minute, we're going to do something with this card. So I want everybody to have one, and I hope you got a pen, because we're going to put some action here tonight. All right? And I meant to be done before now, but I'm not. All right, so as they're doing this, can you do two things at once? Can I teach while you've got your hand up? Okay. When you pray, believe you receive. All right? So I get my check. You ready? You listen to me. I get my check, and I got all these bills. I got all this stuff. But what I need to do is I need to believe that I have received. You say, well, I got more bills than I do pay. That's not the problem. All right? The problem is faith. How do we get there? People still got their hands up, guys. Somebody run. Somebody
Shout. Somebody turn a somersault. Do something. Are we out of cards? Because I bought 400. I don't think there's 400 in here. Maybe there is. I'm just not counting good tonight. Well, by the way, what we're doing is we had 1,506 here in the house Sunday. We baptized three, had 28 people commit their lives to Jesus Sunday. We had 28 people in Growth Track in this house Sunday. We had over 60, almost 70 people in Growth Track campus-wide this past Sunday. I'm just testifying to what God's doing. We had over 2,800 people campus-wide this past Sunday at Love and True Church. What a great, great week it was as God's blessings and His goodness came. And I'm so thankful for that. Now watch. When you pray, believe that you receive. All right? So, come back to me, okay? Because we got sidetracked on handing out cards. All right? So when you pray, believe you received. In other words, get this. Get this. Don't miss it. You have to claim what is yours. Do you know that right now in every state government there are billions of dollars that the state doesn't own, that it's somebody else's? They just don't know it. Do you know that there are insurance companies that have millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars that's not theirs, but they're holding it until somebody makes a demand on it, that somebody claims it? When you pray, believe you receive. I'll stop. When do I receive? When? When you pray. I don't receive 6 weeks down the road. When it comes in. See, this is where we've missed it. We said, well, I'm praying that God's going to bless me. I'm praying that I'm going to have this. I'm praying I'm going to have that. No. I receive it when I pray for it. Let me prove it from the life of Jesus. Remember the life of Jesus when Jesus walks by the tree and he wants fruit. And the Bible, did you read what the scripture said? The Bible says it wasn't time for fruit, but Jesus wanted it. Now, that'll mess with your theology. God doesn't give you your wants. He just gives you your needs. Not according to scripture. The Lord will supply all of your needs. I got it. But Psalm said he'll give you your wants too. Says it more than one place in the book of Psalms. All right? Jesus walks by, looks at the tree, goes and looks for fruit, and the scripture says that he didn't find fruit. It wasn't seasoned for fruit. Again, that's interesting to me. And Jesus just says, he's walking away. He doesn't go, I command you, like we do, come out. Jesus just walks away and he says, hey guys, nobody's ever going to eat of that tree again. And he just keeps walking. Now, what did he do? He believed that he received right then. He didn't turn around and say, is it dying yet? Hey, somebody go back there and look at it. Go see what's happening. See, that's what we do. Mm-mm. He just walked away. Next day, right? Y'all read this in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's in there. Next day, they walk by, and the thing is dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Peter goes, Lordy, Marty. Jesus, look at this tree. He said, so? See, we read King James way too much. Jesus goes, big deal. If you say to a mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say will come to pass. Well, I just don't believe that happened. That's the problem. we don't believe that will happen for us. Can I do this quickly? Lord, help me. A couple of things to do. You need to claim what's yours. Hope you're writing this down. And you need to tell Satan to get his hands off your stuff. The Bible says when the thief is caught, he must restore sevenfold what's been taken. We've been asking God to give back what's not God's priority and prerogative to give back. If God didn't take it, he can't give it back. We're going to need a few more weeks on this, Lord. I just thought March was going to go somewhere else. We'd probably be doing this in March too, Lord. Satan, get your hands off of my stuff. And then, this is the last ingredient here. Release the ministering angels on your behalf. And some of you, again, I'll give you scripture for this because it's in the Bible. It's not, I'm not making this some strange thing. The book of Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 13 and 14, listen to what it says. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Now watch what verse 14 says. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I've heard that preached for years, that they're ministering spirits sent to minister to. It doesn't say to. It says angels are ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. How many of you believe that evil angels, demons, can influence things? Come on, you don't have to be rocket scientists to figure that one out. If evil spirits, evil angels can influence for evil, what can good angels do? They can influence for good. And so I claim what's mine. I believe that I have received it when I pray for it. And that's another thing. Let me say this to you, and I don't want to go too far afield. Come play at them, because I got to stop. I think you can pray about the same thing more than once. I don't have a problem with that. I think we need to be cognizant of how we pray for it. Right? If I have asked God X, Y, Z, then I need to come back and just claim what's mine. Lord, I just claim today. Your word says that it's mine. I guess we had a Holy Ghost moment a while ago. I claim what's mine. Now, Lord, I'm just coming back today to just say it's still mine. That I received it on February. I got a watch the size of my head and I still can't see it. February the 10th, 2016. I want you to write that on that card. February the 10th, 2016. And according to my watch, it is 8:28. Now, here's what I want you to write on that card. Now, If you've never believed God for $10 and you've got $1 million need, maybe start off believing Him to pay your light bill. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm being serious. I remember one of the first times The Lord spoke to Sherry and after we got married to give, and it was like $2,000, and it was all the money we had. I was in college. We had $2,000 in bank, and our church we were in was in a building program, and the Lord spoke to us to give it, and with fear and trembling, we went, good Lord, what are we doing? We gave it, and God blessed it, and at that point on, it's been, we got ready to build this building, and we were doing a capital campaign, and Sherry and I prayed about it, and by that time, and I'm just telling you this to get your faith level up, by that time, we'd seen God do so much through the years. We both felt $50,000. We gave $50,000, and to this day, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. I mean, just money. It was like, and that was like 3 years ago. I didn't miss it. We didn't go without food. We didn't miss anything. $50,000. Like, wow. I didn't start there. Trust me. If you told me that when I first started out doing this, I'd gone, shickle mo shine, pass me on by. All right? And here's what I want you to do. I want you just for a moment to close your eyes and determine what need there is in your life that you can believe that you receive right now. And again, it's according to where your faith level is. You may can just believe for lunch money for next week, and that's fine. All right? There's something that's happening. And if you're husband or wife, you may want to talk just for a minute. In fact, I'm gonna talk to my wife, so come up here. Got it? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it on that card. Whatever it is. All right? Well, I'll tell you what ours is. Well, that's what I brought her up here for. We've got some rental houses, and we got one that we still owe some on. I'm believing before this year's over. It's not supposed to be paid. Before this year's over, it's going to be completely debt-free. Paid for. This year. That's what we're writing down. We have received it in the name of Jesus. It's happened. And some of you, I know what some of you think, and I love you, whether you believe it or not. I really do love you. I don't teach this stuff a lot because I get criticized when I teach it. But I'm tired of people doing without. I'm tired of seeing God's people suffer and struggle and barely get by. I want you free. Amen. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you to sow a seed to your harvest. And I'm not going to try to tell you what that seed needs to be. How many of you understand that if you're going to reap a harvest, sow a seed? So you determine that seed, not me. This money doesn't go to me. But sometimes we've got to put some action to what we're going to do, all right? So if you're going to write a check, just make it to the Love and Truth Church or cash, whatever you're going to do. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And what I want you to do is, I want us all over the building, everybody, if you would stand with me, okay? I didn't preach that long, did I? If you wrote something on that card, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to bring that card with you to the front. And if you've got a seed, I want you to bring that too. Just put your seed on the altar area tonight. That's fine. We're not going to have buckets up here. Okay? I want you to bring that with me. I don't want you to leave the card. I want you to keep the card, okay? Keep your card. But I want you to come to the front because I want to pray over them, all right? So just come on. Wherever you are, just come on. This is Boy, this is stretching us tonight. This is stretching us. Let me tell you a book, and I don't know where I got this book. I have racked my brain trying to figure out when I bought this book, where I got it. But as I began to prepare for this stuff, I was looking my books over, and I thought, I've never read that book. So I picked it up, and back first of the year, I read this book. It's written by a guy named Dr. Kenneth Hammons. He's evidently connected to Charles Blake and Church of God in Christ or something. And it's written, and I enjoyed it because it's written from an African-American perspective. Some of y'all will get that. It'll be all right. Your neighbor will explain it to you. But it's called God Wants You Wealthy, How to Release the Wealth Builder Within. It is on Amazon. It's got some crazy prices on Amazon, or you can go to his website, Dr. Kenneth Hammons, and you can get it there. You won't agree with everything? I didn't agree with everything. But there is some dynamite stuff in here, all right? I mean, he has a whole chapter on how a beginner can produce wealth, and he gives you six roads to wealth. Talks about home-based businesses and different positions of wealth. And I mean, it's just, again, it's a powerful, powerful book. You'll have to dig. It's not an easy read, but it is well worth your time. God wants you to be wealthy, Dr. Kenneth Hammons. All right, I'll leave it up here, but don't steal it. This is my book. It's got my card in it. Leave it alone. But I'll leave it there so you can look at it. You ready? All right. Go ahead and put your seed down. I think we have to lay our seed down first, okay? I'm just challenging you a little bit. So get that out of your hand. Get your seed out of your hand because we want to harvest. See, God can't get what's in his hand to you before you get what's out of your hand. So we got to release it. And here's something. Again, this is not for an offering. I challenge you to always be a giver wherever you go. Not just church. Always be a giver. When you go to a restaurant, be a giver. Right? Be a good tipper. Buy somebody else's lunch. Go through the drive-thru at Starbucks. Pay for the people behind you. Some of you go, my Lord. Be a giver. Be a giver. Now, come on, let's do this because I got to get you out of here. I've held you way longer than I ever do on Wednesday night, okay? Would you hold that in your hand, whatever it is you're believing for, okay? I know what ours is. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, and we claim. Now, whatever it is, I want you to claim it right now. I want you to see it. Right? You can just even kind of under your breath, just say what you're claiming right now. Some of you need to sell something. Some of you need to buy something. Some of you need to release. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I just know that some things need to happen. Some of your businesses need to explode in growth. Some of you need to get so blessed that you're going to have 5 and 6 locations. You're going to have to hire 25 new people in the next 3 years. All right? Now, I want you to get a little aggravated. You ready? I want you to tell the devil, let your stuff go. Come on, can you? In the name of Jesus, we declare, let our stuff go right now. Come on, tell him. Tell him to let it go. Speak it out. We declare you don't have a right to it. You have taken it long enough. You got it illegally, and we come tonight to claim back what is rightfully ours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we are God's kingdom. And we call it into the right kingdom now. And just as Jesus took the bread and the fish, we now take what is ours from the enemy, and we bless it in the name of Jesus, so that it is released for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Go.